The report was sponsored by McAfee and produced by the Center for Strategic and International Studies as a follow-on to a critical infrastructure study they produced last year. In both cases, they interviewed hundreds of IT executives in the electricity, oil, gas, and water sectors. But since the first report, we've had Stuxnet, a piece of sophisticated malware that targets power control systems. Stuart Baker is a visiting fellow at CSIS, a former Homeland Security Assistant Secretary, and a co-author of the report. He says infrastructure operators reported that cyber threats and actual attacks have increased in the past year, but they wanted to know what steps operators have taken to boost their protections.
We didn't want to ask them, gee, are you doing more about security, because everybody says yes. So we actually came up with a list of 29 technologies, from whitelisting to encryption of data at rest to use of tokens for remote logins, and just a grab bag of security technologies. And we asked them last year, and we asked them this year, which of these technologies are you using? On average, for the energy sector, their response to Stuxnet was to deploy more security. They went from having 50% of those security measures on average to having 51% of those measures on average.
Baker says one possible explanation for the mismatch between the perceived threat and the response to it is that private companies don't feel equipped to defend themselves in a cyber war all by themselves.
You know, if you're a private company and you're faced with the prospect of an attack like Stuxnet, there's a feeling of utter helplessness that descends on you. What are you going to do about zero-day attacks, multiple zero-day attacks, thumb drive, transport, people who are using the very SCADA system you rely on, simply sending out orders and then getting back false reports? It's not clear how you address that, and you kind of say, geez, you know, General Motors doesn't have its own air defenses against nuclear attack. How am I supposed to solve this problem? Unfortunately, the response to that sense of helplessness, at least at the political and social level, is utter denial.
The reflexive reaction, he says, is to assume that the potential for an all-out cyber war is overblown.
Oh, it must be hyped, because people don't want to believe that that would happen, because it would require a change in behavior.
But Michael Peters, the cybersecurity advisor at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, says the U.S.'s energy infrastructure is not monolithic in terms of its cyber preparedness. He wanted to stress that the views he expressed on a panel at the National Press Club yesterday were his own and not FERC's official position. He says some people in some energy industries do have a solid grasp on what they need to do to secure their systems. He says one pervasive problem across the country, though, is a general lack of expertise in cybersecurity, especially as it relates to energy control systems.
When you really think about who really understands IT security and computer systems, we have maybe 1,000 real experts out in this country, and we need about 30,000. When you then look at the subset of folks who actually understand control systems, IT, and cybersecurity, that's a much, much smaller number. You may have companies who are trying to do the right thing, they just can't find the people to do it. On top of it, the critical infrastructure, the control systems that are being built, aren't being built with security in it. Cybersecurity is much better to be baked in than bolted on afterwards, and so that's one of the issues.
And he says the specialized IT systems that handle the nation's energy infrastructure now are inherently difficult to bolt security onto. He says unlike corporate IT, the hardware has 40 to 50 year life cycles, and it's designed for high reliability, not necessarily high security. In many cases, putting traditional IT defenses in place on those systems, he says, wouldn't protect them, it would break them. Peter says infrastructure operators need to take a detailed look at their own systems and decide where they're vulnerable.
I also recommend folks have their best engineers, their best control system people, the best software folks to look at the system and figure out how can we cause the most harm to this company and to our customers. Because these experienced folks, they know where the skeletons are buried. They know that in these systems. They look at those things and they point out those features, they fix them. And if everybody kind of looks at their own selves and go, how do we make sure we keep this company profitable, that we keep on providing the products and services that these control systems are designed to do, then everybody, I think, writ large will be better off. Right now, in many different infrastructures, folks are kind of looking at how they fit into the bigger picture, when in reality, I want you guys to protect themselves. And if they protect themselves, then you just have to look for the seams to add some additional protections. And I think that would be the best way that we get this thing solved.
Government, for its part, doesn't have as clear a picture as it would like of cyber vulnerabilities to critical infrastructure. Kevin Gronberg, the senior counsel to the House Homeland Security Committee, says by necessity, they rely on the industry itself to supply those insights.
I don't know all the answers. Congress doesn't know all the answers. We are dependent upon the owners and operators of the critical infrastructure to come and explain what it is that is lacking. Obviously, we can't just listen to them. We also have to listen to some of the experts as to how we solve some of these problems.
Kronberg says his committee is actively working on its own comprehensive cybersecurity bill, though he declined to give details or a timeline. In the meantime, though, he says the relationship between government and industry members who operate critical infrastructure has already improved, even without legislation. He says as recently as a couple of years ago, companies complained about getting wildly varying threat assessments from different federal agencies.
And I think particularly DHS and the White House have taken some strides to maintaining that consistent message with the appointment of the White House cybersecurity coordinator. I don't know if we're there yet. Again, we have a lot of players within the government, Commerce, DOD, DHS, NIST, White House. But I think driving a consistent message as to what is the state of play, what is the threat, what is expected of critical infrastructure, owners and operators. We don't expect Ford to defend its own airspace. Should we expect critical infrastructure owners and operators to defend against all cyber weapons?
The CSIS and McAfee report found that only 16% of U.S.-based critical infrastructure operators had their cybersecurity plans audited by any agency, and 40% said they had no interaction at all with government on cyber matters. That's compared to a 100% audit rate in Japan and 70% in China. In the U.S., some legislative proposals would change that. The White House is reportedly circulating proposed legislation that would give DHS audit authority and create a body of third-party evaluators to assess whether or not private operators are meeting generally accepted cybersecurity standards. Baker from CSIS says some additional authority couldn't hurt.
I'm struck by the fact that the Federal Trade Commission has never used the word public-private partnership, to my knowledge, because they've got subpoena authority and fine authority and a wide-ranging authority to determine whether people have engaged in unfair practices. They get respect and they get educated even if they don't get respect. And so my sense is that DHS has probably taken the approach of sort of hoping people will come in and, you know, giving them good refreshments as about as far as it can, and that's why we're seeing proposals on security issues.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.